Up next, the Astrology Hour, Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the two-hour edition on KFOX. Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to the two-hour special expanded edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. All right, we have a hot topic for you today with a fast introduction. And today's topic is called Transit Trines. One of my good friends and one of the brightest astrologers in the history of the world. I mean, you got to believe this guy knows about solar arc progressions, which I know nothing about, right? Howard Sheldon called me yesterday. We had a little discussion about transit trines and how he felt that they weren't that powerful. But considering that I'm not too happy sometimes because I have four squares on my moon and one square on my Venus, I have learned to look forward to my transit trines. In fact, when it comes to understanding astrology or any metaphysical science, you gotta believe that the power of the mind, because it is the power of God metaphysically, overrides anything that you can believe to be true. That's why I think that there is truth, and then there's always further truth, and there's always information that comes in that helps us understand. I'll tell you what I mean. Some people may not like transit squares or transit oppositions. In other words, my pal Howard, he seems to think that transit squares and oppositions can be wonderful, and I agree, because they do promote growth, and they do offer tremendous expansion, and unfortunately, I don't have Howard on the show today for him to have a rebuttal, but anyway, I decided to do a topic on this transit trine philosophy of mine, anyway, this theory. But the interesting part is that I feel that when I talk about my personal power of the mind or my personal power of God, sometimes I like to know that there's something in astrology that does offer hope and luck and power and dreams and wishes to be fulfilled and return of dharmic energy from a past life. And I've studied, you know, like I know Howard studied for 28 years and I've only studied for 12, but in my studies I have followed every single aspect to my chart. So whenever there's a transit, if something's on my moon, then it lights up my sensitivity. Right now Venus is exactly opposed my moon at 17 Taurus, and boy do I feel it, a lot of scandal and controversy and gossip in the air. And that usually does happen during a lunar transit. So you definitely feel the oppositions and the squares because I think they bring stress. And if you don't know what an opposition or a square is, basically, whenever a planet in the sky, and we always talk about the planets in the sky first when we talk about transits. Like if we're saying Venus is opposition the moon, then that means Venus in the sky is opposition my moon in Scorpio right now. 17 Taurus opposition, my moon at 17 Scorpio. But anyway, a square basically means that there's a planet in the sky that is at a right angle to a planet in our chart with the Earth at the epicenter of that triangle. So if you drew a line from one planet in the universe to the Earth, and then another line from the Earth to the planet in our chart, we would get a right angle or a 90-degree angle, and that is what we call a square or a self-imposed stressed aspect or a self-imposed karma that can show an insecurity, a need to release obsession, a need to let go, a need to watch selfishness, selfish desire, and such. That's a square transit aspect. The opposition occurs during a lunar eclipse. When the sun is on one side of the earth and the moon is on the other, it is the shadow of the earth that blocks out the light from the full moon. And that would shade the moon over, and that would be a lunar eclipse. That is what we call an opposition. So whenever there's a planet in the sky, like right now, Venus is opposition my moon, like I said, that means one planet is on exactly the opposite end of the universe than a planet in our chart with the Earth in the middle, and that's called an opposition. Well, a trine is the obtuse angle or the open angle aspect. You got to know a little bit about geometry here, but if you can just conceive in your mind a 120-degree angle, which is one-third of a circle, when a trine goes on, it means that there's a planet in the sky that if you drew a line to that planet from the Earth and then a line from the Earth to a planet in our chart, and it came out to be one-third of a circle, which is 120 degrees, that is what we call a trine aspect. And this is a really good show to get your aspects down as far as squares, oppositions, and trines are concerned, even though I'm going to focus on the trine. My pal, my good friend, and my brother, I'm sure from past lives, Howard, was telling me that he didn't think that trine transits were that powerful. And I thought to myself, now, wait a minute. I have seen in my examination and in my research with my clients, people get married during trines to their Mars if they're a woman or a gay man, trines to Venus, if you're a man or a gay woman, commitments, relationships happen, good ones, fun ones, none of this painful garbage, things that last, permanency set up during trine transits. And, you know, I'm not saying that Howard is wrong, because in his opinion, It's like if a person is a psychic and they are powerful enough, then whatever they tell you might manifest. Same with an astrologer. If an astrologer's power of mind is powerful enough and he tells you that the transit trines in your chart are insignificant or they're not powerful, then that will manifest. But what I prefer to teach in astrology is I prefer to teach power of the mind, power of God astrology that says that squares and oppositions reveal karma experiences and transit trines will reveal power, dharma, and benefit and gain, which I have proven to be true. And I love that too. And I'm curious also to see if anybody else has comments on that, because, you know, in our transit forecast, we always let you know where your trine transits are, and these appear to be the better times of life. And there's a lot of astrologers that will agree with me, and some will disagree. That's why astrology is so much fun, because we differ so much in our analysis and interpretation, because we are dealing with the etheric cosmic fiber of this dimension and the universe when we try to analyze the effect of the planets on individuals. But anyway, an interesting other part of this issue is that I have found that I feel better when I'm having a transit trine to my Scorpio moon, for example, from a Pisces or a Cancer planet. And I also make more money when I'm having a transit trine to my Venus in Cancer. I just went through a Pluto trine Venus that lasted for 3 years. Maybe you weren't aware of this, but when I came to KFOX in 1984, admittedly, I was broke and nearly starving and in debt. And thank God I have recovered in 4 years. And the whole time I've been on the air, most of that time I was going through a Pluto trine Venus, which also helped me. And at the same time, whenever planets go over my Jupiter in the second house, which has four trines on it natally, I feel that a conjunction transit to planets in your chart, and that means a conjunction means that there's a planet in the sky that is sitting exactly on top of a planet in your chart and kind of lighting it up like a circuit board. So we do find that whenever you have what is called the conjunction transit, if it sets off trines, that this can also bring good vibes and power to your life. I'm not putting people down if they don't believe or respect the power of the natal trine or the transit trine, because a lot of times it's not as obvious a transit as a square or an opposition or a conjunction. But I do find in my own way, and what I want to throw out to you, the listening audience, is this philosophy to test, that if you can get good enough to follow the planets in the daily news report and to pick up when there is a complementary element in the sky to something in your chart, and it's very easy to learn your trines, right? Because if you just learn the four groups of fire, earth, air, and water, right? Leo, Aries, and Sag being the fire, and then Virgo, Capricorn, and Taurus being the earth elements, and then Libra, Gemini, and Aquarius being the air elements, and then Scorpio, Cancer, and Pisces being the water elements, right? So if you know you have something in Capricorn, at, let's say at 12 degrees, and I announce anything in Virgo or Taurus, the other two elements of earth, around 12, then you know that you are having a transit trine for that day. See what I mean? Like you could have something in Gemini, for example, at 18 degrees, and then I would announce something in a complementary element to Gemini, which would be Libra or Aquarius. Because you see, the elements in astrology, like Leo, Aries, and Sag, the three fire elements, form a magic triangle in the zodiac. In the celestial sphere that surrounds this planet, in the belt that surrounds the Earth, the 12 stellar constellations that we refer to as the ecliptic, we will find that each of the four elements, fire, earth, air, and water, form grand trines, or what we call equilateral triangles to each other, meaning that in order to understand trines, you merely need to know what the elements are. Like Leo is one-third the distance from Sag, which is one-third the distance from Aries. See, and they form that triangle. Same with Virgo, Capricorn, and Taurus. They form that triangle. And then Libra, Gemini, and Aquarius forms that triangle, and Scorpio, Pisces, and Cancer forms that triangle. So, for example, if I was considering today's news and wanted to find a single trine, wow, I'm not having any trines today. Real good. Yeah, I am having a trine. Moon's in Gemini right now, so by tonight it will be trine my Libra planet, Neptune in Libra at 10 degrees, so I could use that aspect because my Neptune's been squared by itself, Neptune in Capricorn at 10. So I'm picking up a transit trine tonight, which can help. Because the moon is the emotional vibe and Neptune is the planet of dreams and spirituality. So tonight should be a very spiritual, mellow, happy time because that's a transit trine that I'm having. See, some of you out there may be having a ton of transit trines. Say if you had early Earth in your chart, like Virgo, Capricorn, or Taurus, because there's so much in the Earth signs now, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, and Uranus, and Neptune. That's, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 planets scattered through Capricorn and Taurus, which really helps the Virgo people out, see, because they're receiving a ton of transit trines from all that Capricorn and Taurus. See what I mean? So I think that, in my opinion, I know if Howard's listening, I love you, Howard, but you might not agree to this. But in my opinion, I love to start projects, to make investments, to begin career activities, to start new relationships, and just plain have a good time and feel a lot better about myself when I know that I'm having a transit trine. So obviously, this is a knockout time for people with Earth planets in their charts, mostly Virgo, Capricorn, and Taurus energy people, to start these new beginnings. You are people that really shouldn't be alone now. Your relationship should be forming. And you are people that really shouldn't be broke or without job or career, because you already are hardworking people by having Earth planets in your chart. And you're shown tremendous surge in career and success if you have the elements of Earth in your chart, meaning Virgo, Capricorn, and Taurus. And because you are being hit with a lot of transit trines, I want you to also follow this formula, which I have learned, because no offense, Howard, but the proof is in the pudding. And I think the power and the success behind the Astrology Hour, as far as finding luck and love and energy and faith and hope, which I have tested myself, of course, I'm not in the Guinness Book of World Records like Howard Sheldon is, who's talked to maybe a million people or so on the radio. I've talked about 20,000-30,000, but of those 20,000-30,000, I have found a lot of feedback and kickback from people alerting me to the fact that I have predicted and foretold of a lot of good luck and positive vibration by following the transit trine theory. So I throw this out to you, the listening audience, not actually claiming that myself or Howard Sheldon would be right, one or the other, because Howard and I are very close friends in the astrology field. And this was an item we were discussing last night on the phone, so I thought I'd have a topic on it. But anyway, it's something for you just to think about. All right, when I become fanatical, if I get depressed because I'm human, right, or if I get weirded out because I feel like I'm having a hard week or a hard month or a hard year, then I'll pull out my 10-year ephemeris for the 80s or 90s, and I'll take a pen and I'll go ahead and I'll circle every darn transit I can find that's trying anything in my chart. You know what? I love it. I will actually take an astrological calendar and highlight the days that I know I'm having a transit trine. And once again, I got to apologize to Howard. Howard, these are the best days of my life. When I have trines and double trines and grand trines transiting my chart, I'm telling you, the mail is happening and my vibration is up. My personality is happening. My relationships are balanced. My family relations are much better. Fun with friends. The best movies come out at that time. I end up traveling. And I know this is the time that I know when the timing to start projects and to begin businesses and to create ideas and topics and seminars. It's just happening for me. So this is my formula. And of course, it is the power of my mind and the power of God within that also helps fortify my belief that transit trines do in fact work. They are in fact powerful. They are in fact dharmic. And they do reveal to you what I call gifts, or vibrations from past lives and from this life that are returned to you because you did something good in a past life. So if you have any natal trines in your chart, you got to believe that when you finally do have your transit trines, that it's a good time for you and something exciting is either going to happen or it's about to happen, or you're about to be conked on your head with some kind of magic wand that will help open up your life and create some power. I have seen a lot of people go in mental institutions, get arrested, go to jail, have diseases, God forbid, surgery, heart problems, back problems, and cancer, much more prevalent during the squares and oppositions, whereas I see people recover. You know, thank God there's transit trines recovery and getting out of jail and getting out of mental institutions and overcoming these diseases during the trines that happen all the time. The moon will trine every doggone thing in your chart, maybe, I think, at least two times a month. Every planet in your chart, that's right. The sun gets trined twice a month in your chart by the moon. The moon gets trined twice a month. Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto will all get trined twice a month by the moon in the sky. Of course, it will conjunct all your planets once a month. So twice a month, we will get a minimum, right, of at least, count them, 22 trines from the moon alone every month. And people say that this isn't powerful. I say thank God for the transit trines because they really make me happy. Transit trines make me feel like I'm an amusement park. Or like that ad on TV, it's like, Farley, now that you've done your transit trines, what are you going to do next? And the answer is, I'm going to Disneyland. I should get paid for that. Okay, now we are going to go to the phones and take a general question here. Elizabeth on line 7, and thank you for calling with it. Hi.
Hi.
What's your question, dear?
It's a rather strange one, actually.
Good. I like weird questions.
Very weird. I'm actually curious I have been told that there are people on this earth that are star people. They are from the stars. They don't originate from the earth. In fact, I was told my son was a star person. And I was just curious if there's any way of telling through his chart or through anybody's chart that has been told that they're a star person, if you can find that out in their chart.
Have you read the book Star People yet?
No, I haven't.
I think you should pick it up. It's definitely a book for you, that's for sure. I do believe that there are millions and millions of souls of extraterrestrial origin on this planet, including myself, far and beyond my own personal beliefs. I have personally substantiated the fact that my soul is far away from being comfortable here on Earth in this dimension, that I strive to be human and I fight to be conscious and comfortable, but I am so different in so many ways that I've accepted the fact, especially after reading that book, Star People, that I and myself, my family, a lot of my friends, and a lot of people that listen to this show are of extraterrestrial origin. I really can't say that there's any one factor that you might look at to find in a person's chart that would definitely substantiate alien origin, because any chart could show alien origin. Frankly, I do think that alien consciousness beings may be of a higher overall spiritual and psychic intellect, which may show either a pronounced Neptune, a pronounced Pluto, or a pronounced Uranus in their chart, meaning trines and sextiles on their Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. I have a square to my Neptune, a sextile to my Uranus, and a trine and a square to my Pluto. So, you know, it's hard to say. I just think that people that are different, that are extremely unique, that almost look and act alien or feel alien, know that their souls are of extraterrestrial origin. Good question, Elizabeth.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Naomi, March 20th, 1930. Hi.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
My rising sign, please.
You have to send away for that. I don't know.
Okay.
I can't do calculus in my head, Naomi.
Oh, okay. Now, I got the chart, and I don't know head from tail, but I'm trying.
Okay, let's look at it together then. Ready?
I got some questions I'm dying to know.
Okay, let's look first for your rising sign for me, okay?
Okay, where you look?
Look on the wheel.
Okay.
And look on the outer edge.
Oh, that's Council, CN.
On the far left.
Yes.
And there's two numbers above. Does it say CN?
Yes, CN, 23.
Okay, so you're 23 degrees Cancer rising.
And on the other side?
The other side, it should say CP.
Yeah.
All right, so we got it down. Now, sweetheart, what is your question? You got one question you can ask me.
About my relationship, and will I leave California?
Okay, you want to know about your relationship, and will you leave California? I would think, number one, that if you were going to leave California, then it would not resolve what you think it would. In other words, you are shown unrest in the residence and possibly in the living condition. It's what we call a Neptunian square, and it takes years for it to get over because Saturn and Uranus are going to come up and do the same thing. So if you did move, Naomi, you might be moving around all over the place the next 3-4 years.
Oh, it's best to stay here.
Yeah, and you want to know about relationships?
Yes. Yeah,
okay, you're pretty intuitive when it comes to men, but you're also extremely picky. And you like to know things. You know, sometimes if they don't tell you things, you can catch them in lies.
Yes.
Or in case they distort things. And this can change your relationships drastically. You are shown a relationship in the summer. And actually, you're shown a lot of relationships in your life. As far as commitment goes, you'd have to put up with faults in people and learn to accept that as normal.
Oh.
Does that help?
Yes.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you, too.
Bye. Let's go to Scott with a general question.
Hello?
Scott.
Yeah.
You're on the air.
Oh. Okay, actually, Farley, I had a general comment more than a question, and I just wanted to offer this up. From what I've been able to tell, I've studied astrology kind of on an amateur basis for about 10 or 12 years now, and I see more the planets representing abstractions of personality, subconscious, and conscious minds more than being outside entities in the universe that physically manifest a certain energy on the individual. I mean,
it's like the planets are inside of us.
Well, yeah, more or less. I mean, I believe that the energies represented in trines and squares and all the transits are manifested from the individual. And, for instance, I went through a period where I tried to start a business about 5 years ago, and it failed. And I had many square transits and conjunctions in my chart at that time. And the reason this business failed was because I didn't have the experience at the time to handle, to run and develop a business. And I don't believe that the business didn't fail because I had squares and card conjunctions and stuff. It failed because my lack of experience. Now, a lot of those transits are now trying, and 5 years later, I have the experience, I have the knowledge, and so those trines, it's not something that someone's giving me, it's something that manifested through myself.
All right. Thank you for that comment, Guy.
Okay.
God bless you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Sylvia is the Gemini with Virgo rising. Hi.
Hi, Farley. Look, I have been having some major changes this Sunday since the equinox.
You have, such as?
Monday and Tuesday, also this morning.
Were you at the equinox celebration?
I was.
What happened?
I don't know what happened.
Is it good or bad?
They're kind of negative.
Really? Do you want to share them with me?
No, I'm not on the radio.
Okay, well, let's take a look at your chart and see what's been going on here, okay? Venus in Taurus has been playing havoc with people. I think more than anything, it's probably Saturn in Capricorn at 2 degrees has been square your Neptune. It's been gradually moving up there. As far as anything else in your chart, without knowing the specifics of what's been happening to you, would you just call this like an imbalance in your relationships?
Yeah, with my son.
Emotional things?
Yeah, relationship, and I had a health challenge last week.
Wow, yeah, that's a Neptunian thing also. Yeah, well, it's a long transit, so I think, you know, it's important for you to stay confident and optimistic and manifest good health on a regular basis right now to protect yourself and remember that you are in a very sensitive mode. You're extremely vulnerable right now with these transits.
Well, where are you going to work my trines on?
Sure, you probably could use a couple trines here.
Are they close?
Yeah, well, you have a Capricorn moon, right? Venus should be trying that. You know what degree it is?
16.
Well, it's been trying it the last 48 hours. Have things gotten better the last couple days?
It's just gotten worse.
Wow, that's really weird. Oh, you know what it is? The hardest thing is that Neptune at 10 Capricorn is opposed your Mercury at 12 Cancer. Boy, you're showing some anger and hostility here.
My human side came out.
Yeah, not very spiritual, huh? Well, you know, Pluto is trying your Mercury, so I think the consolation here is through meditation and retaining a spiritual priority at all costs and try not to get too trapped in this dimension right now.
Oh.
So it's a Pluto trying your Mercury. That will also last for about a year. Good luck, sweetie.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. All right, let's go over here to Pamela on line number one. Hi, Pam.
Hi. I came up with a midpoint chart. I did my chart. And I compared it to a friend's chart to get its own entity, because I heard you talking about it one day on the show.
You mean you did a composite that
yeah.
found the midpoints between her sun and your moon and her rising and so forth?
Yep, this was a guy, me and a guy.
Okay.
I got the chart, except it looks very strange, and I have no idea how to interpret it. The only planet on the entire right side of the chart that's houses 4 through 9, everything else is on the other side, so what does this mean?
Well, this is a self-igniting relationship. You know, it's like if this relationship doesn't make it, it's because of the two of you. And if it does make it, it's because of lots of hard work. Are both of you really involved in career and goals and lots of outside work?
Yes.
And it's like your life is like a combination of heavy scheduling and then finally getting time for yourself?
Yes.
Well, that's what it means when everything's on the left side of the chart. This would be a career relationship that occasionally takes time for itself.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. Let's go to Kevin now on line 5.
Hi, Farley.
It's Cousin Kevin.
Great topic today.
All right.
Really exceptional.
Thank you.
Yeah, in fact, I have my transits from you guys, and they're so on key all the time.
So you like transit trines?
I do. And I was hoping that today you could offer me a more personalized forecast.
Well, considering you haven't been calling all the K-Fox shows lately, Kevin, I'll do that. I listen to the stage. Okay, let's see. You want to know about some transit trines?
Yeah, the good stuff.
Well, I think one of the more interesting things that are going on is you just finished a Venus trine Pluto, and you're having a Neptune trine Uranus, and Saturn will trine your Uranus, and then Uranus will trine your Uranus, which everybody will go through in 1963. So you're in an uphill climb that's gradual. All these outer planets take time to trigger things, but I think from the trines that positive things will happen. Your moon is in Taurus, right?
That's correct.
And you have a moon trine Pluto.
What kind of manifestations can I expect?
When Venus transits your moon, sometimes you fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just feel good, and sometimes you have an intuition for money or business or power, or you just decide to do something nice for somebody.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye. Let's go to Don on line number 6, a Sag Leo rising. Yo, Don.
Yeah. Father, how are you doing?
Good. Hey, thanks for calling.
What I want to know is what effects do mind-altering drugs have on the interpretation of, let's say, the planets that, you know, you say is inside of us? And specifically, drugs like marijuana, this type of thing, what effect does this have on the individual and, let's say, the people who associate with that individual?
Drugs and alcohol are a Neptunian effect on, Neptune rules drugs and alcohol and also the spirit. And in my personal opinion, like, I think the American Indians believe that some drugs enhance chakra control because they have found they have had incredible visions and revelations, for example, with the consumption of certain mushrooms like peyote buttons and other things. Substances like marijuana, I question because you take it into the lungs and it goes into your brain. So I think it affects shutting down or closing the heart chakra, which is right by the lungs, and the crown and the brow chakra, which is on the brain. Like alcohol would affect the stomach, the heart, and the crown and the brow chakra. So it's funny that alcohol is legal because it appears to be one of the more potent of the chakra-altering drugs. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, drugs and alcohol create an artificial consciousness or an artificial bliss-like state, so to speak, as far as what some people interpret, that can be dwarfed by what can be felt by what I call full meditative chakra control. And not a lot of people I know that are into higher consciousness concepts walk around stoned all the time, just like me. When I come on the air, I sound high, don't I? Well, I'm blossoming. All my chakras are open at 12 noon, so I feel stoned on the air, most of the time at least. Okay, Don?
Okay.
All right, thank you, Don. All right, let's go over here now. Nina is a Capricorn Libra rising. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing fairly good today.
Thank you for calling.
How are you doing?
I'm having a wonderful day.
Oh,
I love the Gemini moon.
I just listened to your program the first time yesterday, and I love it. One of your members.
It's wild, isn't it?
To me.
Oh, really? Which member?
Harriet Wood.
All right. I love Harriet. Tell her I said hi.
Sweetie pie. So I had a general question. I also have a personal question. Is that okay?
Well, I only have time for one.
Can I be selfish and have the personal one?
Sure. You can do anything you want.
Okay.
It's still America.
I have to start, but I don't, you know, that has everything written out, but I...
What's your question? Let's get into this question here.
Okay, it has to do with moving. I've been moving a lot in the last 7 years, 6 years, since 81, and...
What degree is your ascendant?
Libra, let's see. Zero.
No wonder. So you have all these planets in your fourth house in Capricorn, including Neptune, Saturn, and Uranus, and Mars right now. So, if I were you, I'd try to remain in one place at all costs.
Really good advice, because my roommate just moved out, and that was the dilemma. Do I find another place or find a roommate?
Nina, when there's all these planets in your fourth house of residence, and they're setting off all this cardinal stuff in your chart, like your Uranus in Aries, Mars just squared it, your Pluto in Cancer, Mars just opposed it, or let's say, for example, your Mercury in Capricorn's being transited. You have a Cancer moon, I think. Is that right?
Right.
And all these planets are being opposed and triggered by the Capricorn transits. It's a no-win situation. It's like wherever you go, the karma follows you. There's karma with roommates, with relationships you'd live with pets, with neighbors, with landlords, with owners. Yeah. So it could be that you might have been a landowner in a past life, and right now you're reliving some of this vibration to help absolve it. So that's what's going on, and it's best to try to bear with it and see a lot of it as a reflection of your own former self, and maybe that'll help you deal with it better. I would stay put if I was you. I'm not trying to tell you what to do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Terry now, who has a general question. Hi, Terry.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine. In May, there's going to be two full moons, and May 1st, it's going to be in Scorpio.
Wait a second. Let me grab my full moon guide here. Okay, I'm ready.
And then the 31st, Sagittarius. And I just wondered if that's going to trigger maybe an earthquake, or what you think of two full moons in 1 month, because it doesn't happen very often.
It's going to trigger Clint Eastwood and Brooke Shields' birthday, that's for sure. I don't know. I think there's too much earthquake paranoia in this city here. It's starting to drive me a little berserk around here. I've already done a story with Ion LA that I feel that if there is a quake, it'll happen plus or minus 3 weeks from May 1st, which is the first full moon in Scorpio. That's Sunday, May 1st at like 7:30 in the morning. I'd hate to see an earthquake on Mother's Day, May 8th, but I think by May 31st that the vibration for quake would be pretty much over. I don't think the full moon has as much to do with it as the Mars square Jupiter T-square Pluto does end of April. See, like, Mars is going to be 10 Aquarius, and it's going to be square Jupiter on Thursday, April 21st, and then square Pluto on Saturday, the 23rd. So, besides May 1st, I think the 21st, the 22nd, and the 23rd, with the Leo moon included on Saturday, would be more of a time to trigger a quake, and we will have an earthquake watch starting around that time for Southern California from the Astrology Hour, okay?
Okay, but I mean, with two full moons, I don't mean necessarily earthquakes.
Full moons don't trigger quakes, on Mars and Jupiter and Uranus usually do, in my opinion. Anyway, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll see you real soon, weekdays at KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative, and that's at 12 noon. Thanks for listening.